Rock Fight, where we speak our truth, slay sacred cows, and sometimes agree to disagree. This is an outdoor podcast that aims for the head. I'm Colin True, and today we are back with another piece of gear and another beer. Yes, that's right. It's your weekly dose of gear and beer. With me, as always, is Justin Hausman. What's up, Justin?
I want to make it clear, we're not doing these back-to-back, so it's not like we're just opening another beer right now. But we're responsible here.
We're almost a full week removed from episode one of Gear and Beer.
Yeah, so don't think we're just hammering beers and recording all these in one day. We'll do that eventually, but not
like the Beer and Gear Century Club, you know?
That would be fun to see, just see how different, like, at the end, what the later ones
I'd probably make it to, like, six.
I'm at the age now where I fall asleep before I get drunk, which is so great. God, that's useful.
But then you still wake up hungover, though.
Well, no, you don't, because that's the point. You're asleep before you're drunk. I'm not talking about passing out. Literally just like, oh, I'm sleepy, and I just fall asleep. And it's like, that's wonderful. You can't drink too much.
So today we'll be reviewing a piece of gear the way you would expect gear to be reviewed on the Rock Fight. In short, the same way you talk about gear when you're out with your outdoorsy pals. You don't talk about stack height, geometry, or width underfoot. You talk about the experience, what you like, what you don't like. And because we're the only gear review show that actually cares about the world, we'll rank each product on the Stuffometer, a scale where the best score means humanity and society would be losing something if this thing went away, and the worst score means that this thing, regardless of performance, and just like Puffin Drinkware, probably shouldn't exist in the first place.
Unless Puffin Drinkware wants to sponsor the podcast.
That's true. Call me Puffin. After the gear, we'll follow that up with the perfect post-activity pairing, because Justin is the official Cicerone, not just for the Rock Fight, but of the entire outdoor community. Don't know what a Cicerone is? Go look it up. Bottom line is, here, you'll get the pairings that matter most, gear and beer. So, Justin, are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get into today's gear.
Question for you.
Okay.
It's getting warmer. Where I live, it's like 70. What's it like down there?
Yeah, no, it's in the 70s. It's very nice.
Okay,
outside.
So it's nice. It's nice. And it's probably kind of green or whatever the equivalent of
it
green is.
It is so green
Eastern
right
San
now.
Diego.
This nice. Is like, okay, the, yeah, good. Yeah, it's so nice.
So what, you're going to go on a trail, a hike, not a run. You're going to go on a hike. Okay. What are you going to wear on your feet? What's your footwear situation?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm kind of a trail runner guy. I also like hiking in my Bedrock sandals.
Okay, so what's it going to be?
I would have to say trail runners. That's my go-to.
Wrong.
You wanted me to say trail runners.
Wrong. Wrong answer, Colin. Okay. First of all, Bedrocks would have been acceptable. I'd like to get that out right now. Bedrocks would have been a perfectly acceptable answer. But no, that would be trail runners is the wrong answer.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. And it's that boots are safer.
Oh,
boots
no.
are, I think, more comfortable over the long term.
Are you reviewing boots or a boot?
Hold on. Boots are, did I say more capable?
No, you did not say, that's
far more capable.
Okay.
Laughably more capable than a trail runner. Even the best trail runner would be. You'll have it forever. You'll bond with it. You don't have to throw it in the garbage. You're just going to have a better overall hiking experience with a boot. Now, trail runners have for some reason taken over the entire hiking community.
For some reason.
I kind of get it. I do. They're lightweight. They're pretty, you know, they're soft. They're very comfortable. But a few years back, I've written about this before.
You've talked about your first ever appearance on the Rock Fight.
There we go. Yeah. I switched over to hiking boots, and I don't, not only do I not regret it, but as the temperature is climbing and like we're getting into like warmer weather hiking season, like I'm still going to be wearing hiking boots. I might wear some lighter ones, but I feel this way even stronger than I have before. And I've been wearing a lot of trail runners as I've been reviewing Hokas and stuff like that. And some of the ones I have are pretty burly with like nice Vibram lugs to them. I mean, you could make a nice hiker with them, but every freaking time I go downhill, I regret wearing trail runners every time as my like toes get smashed in the front. And the squishiness kind of, I just don't feel stable. So yeah, just, I love hiking boots. And the ones I want to talk about today are the ones I've worn easily the most over the past year. I love them so much. I just convinced my neighbor to spend $360 on a pair of his own, 'cause they are pricey shoes. But, the Scarpa SL Active. Now these are, I keep looking at them as if you're going to be able to see what I'm looking at, but that's not, correct me if I'm wrong, that's not how podcasts work. They don't see what I see.
Not typically, no.
Not typically. Yeah. Yeah. Not maybe with the Apple Vision Pro, they might. I don't know.
Can't wait to wear both potting and those. That'll be great. That'll be the next episode of Gear and Beer.
Gosh, maybe we could get Apple. Would you send us some?
Yeah, Apple, hook us up.
We're both recording on Apple products. You know,
we're
fans of the brand.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these are like your prototypical full grain leather boots that most people would probably look at and go, nope. Like one, they're expensive. Two, they're really big. Three, you have to break them in. Four, they're probably overkill for like so much of what you actually want to do and need to do. But that's kind of why I love them. Like yeah. The overkill is like kind of the point. And I don't know how else to explain it. I've written about it so much and I still haven't hit on like a really good answer for why they feel so much better to me than trail runners do. But if there's just something so homey and like comforting about like slipping your foot into a big full length boot. These ones are, they call them SL, stands for super light, which is weird because they're pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Let's see how much they actually weigh. I can't quite remember. Okay. 1 pound, 12 ounce per shoe,
that's not that bad.
They feel heavier than that. Actually, I'll be honest. They feel heavier.
That's probably a size nine. That's probably,
it's a little shoe and I'm in a 12. Yeah. Yeah, it's a 42. What's a 42? That's not that small.
Is that like a 10? 11, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, that's pretty close.
I'm a 43 or 44, I believe. And I'm a 13.
So they do feel heavier than that, and which is probably not a selling point. Although I like that. Again, I love that in a boot. So, you know, very, very, if just like I said, imagine full grain leather boot has like a nice like rubber rand on the bottom. I don't know if they're resolable or not. I presume they are. But even if they're not, they're going to last for freaking ever.
Yeah.
These have that 37.5 like tech fabric. I guess you know better than I do what that actually is. And I will say is that a membrane?
No, it's a fabric. It's like, I think it's not temperature control, but it's like moisture control, right? It's like, it's the bamboo kind of like base layer material.
So I've had a few things that have that in it and I usually can't, I mean, it's hard to tell like if anything has any kind of fancy material in it, but I will say I can wear these boots on a hot day and my feet don't really sweat. So I think maybe that I mean, as much as you'd expect in a boot.
Okay.
Like more than like a mesh trail runner. But I mean, like generally speaking, like I could wear them right. It's 74 degrees outside, according to my thermometer. I could go for like a pretty long hike in this. My feet would be pretty dry at the end.
Hmm.
It does seem to do something in these boots. I don't believe these have a membrane. They're just So they're just the full grain leather is doing the waterproofing on these.
Right.
But I wear them in the snow. I wear them in the rain. I wear them on hot days around here.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like I can hike to my fullest like extent in trail runners anymore. I mean, about something like this, that's great is it's like, it doesn't, you can scramble. I mean, I know you can do all these things in trail runners too, but I mean like, it's just like, no matter what you encounter, you're mm-hmm. going to be fine. And like, and I'll have them for like 20 years. I mean, that's amazing.
I'm not going to start doing the trail runner versus boot thing because this is not what this episode's about. This episode's about the boots. So let's talk about, you've got other boots. Like talk about like what, so let's talk about the boot itself, right? What is it about the boot that you like more than other boots? Like why is this your go-to versus other boots you've like if you were going to go spend your own money, which is a criteria we talk about, right? Like would you buy this yourself? $360, like you said, why is this the one versus another one?
The full grain leather is nice. And if you haven't had full grain leather in a while, and I hadn't, mm-hmm. you know, I've had a lot, most of my boots are some combination of like nubuck and, you know, synthetics, but to actually have like a full grain leather boot, there's a like a suppleness and a pliability that I really like. Mm-hmm. Also the abrasion resistance is like off the charts. So you feel, I think there's a, like an added sense of protection. I also like that they require care. I mean, like there's a character to it. So I definitely have, you know, I have a pair of Zamberlin Bel Toros that are really like a lot as well, but they're all nubuck. And so, you know, if you go like bushwhacking or through like a particularly nasty, like talus or something like that, like you're going to scratch up the outside. Yeah. And you'll do that in these too, but, it adds like a really rad, like patina to it. And like, I enjoy cleaning these boots. I enjoy waxing these boots. I enjoy all the little things that you have to do to take care of these boots. So I think a lot of it, to be truthful, is the full grain leather.
That's the way to go. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, when you wear a full grain leather boot and you wear it outdoors and you hike in it all the time and you you kind of understand why boots are made of leather for so, like shoes have been made of leather for so long. It's, just, it's a weird feeling I get. Like I have an issue with part of the reason I have an issue with something like a trail runner. I know you don't want me to compare them.
No, it's
them,
okay. But
like,
but no, it makes sense. It
is that like, as you wear them, you're like aware every hike. I swear to God, I'm aware. Okay. I'm wearing this down. The lugs are getting smaller.
That is
I'm
true.
Wearing through the fabric. Like every hike you can tell.
Yep.
And like with these, you can tell if you scratch them up, but not only are you're not affecting the life of the boot and you're adding character to it. I mean, that's one of the things I truly love about something like this.
Yeah.
And the leather Nubuck will last long, probably just as long, but the full grain leather adds that kind of same reason you like leather seats in a car. Like 100%. It smells good. It feels good.
Yep.
And you know, like it might sound silly, but I mean, everybody cares about the aesthetics. I mean, people buy Hokas cause they're bright or whatever. Right. Well, there's no difference in also loving the aesthetics of like a crinkly old leather boot, but there's something about coming home from a hike, cleaning the boot off. If I need to like address it, I can. I got a full like slate of Nick Wax products that I use all the time on them. And it's just so freaking satisfying. You know, same thing that we've talked before about natural fibers in gear. And there's just something more comfortable, more human, more like alive about it. I sound like like an old curmudgeon Luddite, I suppose, in a way, but it just adds a joy. I think whatever weight like penalty you have is made up by the fact that like, I'm like aware that I'm hiking in boots the whole time. Like I'm feeling it. I'm enjoying the experience. I just prefer it. But these particularly are very comfortable for the size. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised the only way a pound and a, what I ever said, pound and 12 ounces, because I do feel a bit heavier than that. But these have such a, like a Cadillac feel to them. Like they almost feel like the momentum carries you forward. They're super stiff in where you want them to be. So as you're especially going uphill, you have like a little, it almost feels like you're on platforms as you walk. And then downhill, your foot doesn't move. And so you can just like trudge downhill, no issues at all. And you know, most hiking boots will be like that, but these are just a bit more secure, but without like a comfort penalty to it. They took a while to break in, say that. But I like that part of that experience. I mean, it's a whole experience with a boot like this. And yeah, it's a lot of money, but again, how many pairs of trail runners are you going to go through? How many pairs of like synthetic hiking boots are you going
to
go through?
Well, that's where I wanted to go, right? Because I think if you're considering this boot, then you're a boot person and you're kind of comparing it, like we were saying, like against the other boot, other boots in the category, in the entire like outdoor footwear category. And definitely I think there is, I really like the trail runner versus boot conversation. I mean, because ultimately it's one of those things that just comes down truly to preference. Like the things you don't like about a trail runner, somebody else may have an issue with, and vice versa. Right. But this one, if I were going to go back to boots and then say, I'm going to go get boots to hike in, not trail runners, I would 100% go with the boot the way you're describing it, because that is my experience when I did wear boots was a full grain leather boot, no membrane. By the way, one reason your foot is relatively dry probably at the end of it is because
it doesn't have that membrane.
It doesn't have the membrane. You're wearing good socks, number one, right? That helps. But yeah, that membrane, that I never understood, even in like the 90s when I was like working at EMS, like why are we putting a Gore-Tex membrane inside of this boot? And not to say that the leather is super breathable, but it definitely is gonna, we know it's still a naturally occurring element. There's gonna be things that it's gonna move moisture in a different way without that membrane in there. So that makes a ton of sense to me. I definitely feel like a boot, if I was gonna look at, not to take a shot, but like kind of like a Merrell Lite hiker style, and you can throw whatever brand you want to in there, like a Technica, a high tech, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? A lightweight hiker.
Everybody makes lightweight hikers. Scarpa makes lightweight hikers.
If you're going there, just go down to the trail runner. Cause then now you're already saving the way. It's gonna be more comfortable like overall. If you're wearing a boot, get a freaking full grain leather boot that you can wear. And so everything you're talking about. Now, the thing that I go to with the boots, and I don't really do this as much anymore, is in the winter, because especially if you're day hiking. So when I was living in New Hampshire, we did a lot of winter hikes up in the Whites, and say what you want about like, mountain ranges or wherever they are, it's cold as shit up there in the wintertime. And I never wore mountaineering boots. I wore hiking boots. Now the danger of that is if I had gotten hurt and I had to sit in the snow and wait for rescue.
Losing your feet.
That wouldn't have worked out well for me.
Yeah.
However, and same thing, one reason why I'll go trail running in the snow and regular trail runners without a membrane is because if you're moving, you're going to stay warm. And I liked that feeling of this, the leather boot, the simplicity of it. It was the way it would mold to your foot in those sort of conditions. I love that. And if I went back to like doing winter hiking, that's probably what I would get if I was going to get a boot to go hiking in the wintertime. But
these are great for that too. They're super grippy in snow,
I would imagine. So
even without being insulated too, the leather is nice and warm. I mean, if they get wet, it's kind of a problem, but.
Is there anything that's comparable that's out there that you've tried?
You know, I do want to get back. Like, I haven't tried it. Make these boots. In fact, it's funny because my neighbor who hikes every day was kind of complaining about blowing through. He wears boots too, but blowing through synthetic boots, like slightly cheaper. I mean, what he calls like cheaper boots, you know, like $150 price point.
Right.
He actually was wearing a pair of Oboes the other day.
That is a brand. I was thinking of Oboes when I said Technica.
I love Oboes, or at least I used to. They got bought by Kathmandu a few years ago, and I haven't really seen their boots since, so I'm not sure if there's been a change or not. But anyway, he was wearing a pair of Oboes, and I thought they were like, they looked old as hell to me. They had like kind of, there was some of the material was wearing through, and there were holes in some of the fabric, and I was like, man, those are old ones. And he's like, no, I've only had these for like 2 years. That's why I was asking you about like getting new boots. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he was looking at like the Danner Mountain Lights, right? Like their classic, classic full grain leather. And, you know, I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't seen those in forever, right? Like I think kind of the idea is they don't really change those. Scarpas are great because Scarpas to me have always been like a really technical boot.
Yeah.
One of the first pair of boots I ever bought was Scarpa. And, maybe it's just cause it's Italian. It just feels like it's sexier and there's more. It's not just like a clotting boot, right? Like the Mountain Light to me looks like a giant sole with leather uppers, and there you go. Like there's a lot of thought into these.
The Danners look more of us like a hipster, like casual boot now to me. Like
look like a boot emoji. You know, like it's
they're cool. I think they look cool as shit. But it's like I wouldn't think if I were gonna, I'm gonna go buy boots to go hiking in, I wouldn't go there. It wouldn't be my instinct to go there.
Like these for all the sort of jokes I made about like picture like a leather boot, that's what these look like. That's not entirely true. I mean, they have a very like modern, sophisticated, you know, athletic silhouette.
Yeah.
Vasque actually has a new pair of boots that doesn't come out for a couple of weeks. I've been wearing for a while, the St. Elias, and they're full grain leather and they are incredible. So I'm going to be writing about those in a couple of weeks. I've been really impressed with those. The most impressive Vasques I've had in a long time.
Well, compare that to your Scarpas,
the Scarpas are the Vasques are a lot lighter. And so they feel more like a lighter weight boot, even though they are full grain leather. I like them a lot, but they don't quite have the same, security, I guess I enjoy about these boots. I mean, like what you were saying earlier makes a lot of sense where if you're going to wear a lightweight boot, just wear a freaking trail runner. Cause you're going all in. You're just going, I want the experience of hiking in a large boot and all that could possibly provide. And that's what you're getting here.
Right.
But I mean, is $360? That's a lot of money. Is that a lot to you?
But to your one thing you said in your opening, like when are you going to replace it? And to your point, I don't know specific. I would bet actual money that you could resell these things multiple. What's the midsole? Is it like almost like an EPU or a TPU? I mean, is it?
So yeah. It is.
That's
so
gonna last forever too.
Yeah, and like I don't know, like Vibram can like Vibram every once in a while. They feel like they have a program where you can like slap new soles on things. So like it's possible that you could with these. I honestly don't know if there's any kind of like welting or whatever that you could easily resell them. Yeah. But you know, like, again, I don't think you're going to run.
And we're going to get into our ranking here in a second for the stuffometer. Right. And it's like, this is way people, we have to get past the, you know, cheap is best mentality, like, especially when it comes to outdoor gear. And maybe this is a privileged thing for me to say, but $360 versus, okay, so here, let me put that in context. Before my second knee surgery, when I was running all the time, like my primary thing was trail running. And I was going through, and I'm not running as much as real trail, like ultra marathoners. And I was still doing 3 to 5 pairs of shoes a year.
Yeah, that seems right.
And it was mostly because I was wearing out the outsole more than anything.
Yep.
And so, okay, and that was Ultra Lone Peaks, which are like, I'm not getting it for less than $140, $150. Okay, and that's in a year.
Yeah.
Okay, so $360 for the boot you're describing, if it works, especially if it works for you, like clearly it works for you. If I'm on the fence, I don't know, go buy a cheaper boot to maybe figure it out. But if you know, dude, when are you going to replace those boots? Like never.
So the first backpacking boots I ever bought were, God, help me with the name. Asolo?
Oh, Oslo.
Oslo.
Yeah, 535s, baby. That was my boot.
I always said Asolo, but obviously it's not. Yeah. I bought those. It would have been like 2004 or five.
20 years ago.
I just gave them away last year.
That's what I'm saying.
They were fine.
Yep.
Like I did have Vibram put new soles on them when they were doing a program like that. I didn't need to, but like the soles were okay, but Vibram had a program where they could put new Vibrams on anything.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not sure if they're still doing that, but I gave them away. Partially, like the reason I still had them is obviously I'd gotten into other boots and I had other things. They're so useful for other stuff. Like that's the other thing. You're not going to wear your freaking Hokas while you're like mowing the lawn or like building something in the backyard. But I wear these Scarpas for that. Like if I'm going to be doing some kind of heavy, like actual manual labor, I'm probably going to wear the Scarpas. Right. You can wear them for other things. And I also, another thing I didn't mention, that is super important is that I do a lot of off trail hiking. And so like where I go in the summertime, I know, you know, I always go to the same general zones and I know it really well. And so there's, you know, plenty of areas I haven't accessed yet. And I do a lot of off trail stuff. I know people do that in trail runners too, but like to me, that's a no brainer. Like if you're going to be, if you're only on trails, it makes a lot more sense to be exclusively like a trail runner. But if you're doing anything off trail at all, like that is the last thing you want is to like break something because you had these flimsy lightweight shoes on. Cause you thought you were, you know, going to run the entire PCT or whatever. Like there's the use case for the boot is way more variable than the use cases for a trail runner.
It's a little almost like we talked about with a steel bike. It's like even, you can be a trail runner. You could want to do the PCT and trail runners, but in your shoe quiver, you probably should have a pair of boots. You're kind of turning. I have not tried a pair of boots in so long that I kind of feel like
you would like it. I think you would instantly get it. I mean, I think I honestly, knowing you the way I do, I truly think, I mean, it's like, do you appreciate print? Do you appreciate vinyl? I mean, it's a similar thing where you're like, okay, there might be a more efficient tool for this job, but I enjoy the experience more with this than I do with that more efficient tool.
I'm open to trying, especially now since I can't really run anymore anyway. I'm open to going out for a hike, especially being in the next month or so while there's still maybe some snow up. Go up like on San Jacinto or something like that and getting tromp around the snow a little bit, you know?
Did I ever tell you, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but a few years back I profiled this guy named Obi Kaufman for Adventure Journal, and he is a naturalist painter.
I think you did tell me about this guy.
So he has a book out. It's a big deal around here called like the California Field Atlas. And it's all these beautiful watercolor paintings that he does. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, they're just like these sort of visual essays about like how great the nature is more or less. And so I met with him and went for a hike with him. He's also in the Bay Area to profile him. And he shows up to the hike and I'm wearing trail runners and I'm wearing probably like a synthetic, you know, like shell and shorts. He's in, and it's a warm day. He's in leather boots. He's in denim jeans. He's in like a cotton shirt and a denim vest and like a full brim hat. And I was just like, what is up with this guy? And so like after, you know, the half of the day of hiking and talking about his life and talking about nature and kind of what moves him, I asked him about his clothes and he was just like, I just don't like wearing synthetic fibers. Like I've you know, been backpacking my whole life. And like, of course I did, you know, but then at a certain point he's like, I go up in pain a lot. So I'm carrying like heavy things. And you know, when I realized that, it's like, well, why bother having all this other lightweight stuff? I'm already carrying like heavy paints, you know, and
that's true.
And these kinds of things. And then he's like, I just feel more comfortable and more myself in these sorts of things. And like, that was probably like where the switch started to flip. Where I was like, you know what? Like, what am I? I'm not setting trail records. Like I'm not the kind of person that like needs to put in a 25-mile day, you know, like I'm out there to enjoy myself. And I mean, it sounds like a sort of hipster mantra, but the aesthetics do kind of matter. And it's like I said, it's just a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah,
it really is.
All right. The Scarpa SL Active, you would say it performs as advertised, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, kidding me? Yeah.
You would buy it. We've established that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So where does it?
I also have my neighbors buy it.
You're working on me right now. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Do you work for Scarpa?
Shh,
it's conflict of interest here on Gear and Beer. Just
we never do that.
Stephometer 10 is the world is a worse place without it. 1 is puff and drinkware. Where are you, you can't say 8 again 2 weeks in a row.
I'm not. No, it's funny. I was thinking about it. I mean, like I sound like this kind of guy who's like out there like beating the drum for like purity and longevity. And
that's not a bad drum to beat.
I like I don't want people to get the wrong impression of me. I value those things greatly, but it's not like my entire house is like nothing but like permanent objects. Like I'm as guilty of anybody else here of like overconsumption and that sort of thing. It just so happens the first two things that we've covered are things that are near and dear to my heart right now, and largely because they're so freaking durable. So 10. I mean, this is how
10?
Honestly, yeah, 10.
The world's a worse place if this goes away.
Yes. Right. I mean, I guess to a certain degree, I'm saying that about like all boots.
If we stripped your kit and you could save one item, would this be item you'd save?
Yeah, no question.
Then, yeah, give it a 10.
No question. These are the only hiking boots I keep in the house.
No,
they're in the garage just now, but they're the only ones I actually let stay in the house more often than not.
All right. Well, now let's turn our attention to after the activity, at the break, the put-in, the trailhead. We're going to crack open the cooler and imbibe a beverage so we can celebrate our wins and losses in the backcountry. Let's have a beer. All right. So what are we drinking after we go tromping, to use a Halsman term, tromping through the forest in our Scarpa SL Actives?
Are we going to try this one with a bottle, see how it goes?
Okay. Last week worked with the can. Let's see what we got.
It worked really good. I got to give it a little shake so you get the...
One of these days that's going to like literally blow up your face.
You think this is the first beer I've opened in my life, Colin? You know, we don't talk about this enough in the outdoor community, but if you like to drink beer and you like to backpack or really do anything outside, you have probably learned some tricks about how to have a jostled beer without like it
destroying
you.
That's a good point. We could do a whole special on that.
Like I always bring a beer backpacking for the first night, always have a beer. And so usually it's been jostling around with me for like 10 or 12 miles. And you know, you learn some tricks. You learn some tips. Bottles is tougher. Cans, you can do it. Let's see here.
See if I hear it. Get real close.
Oh, didn't really do
I
it.
I didn't hear
you,
it.
You know what? You might've heard those little.
Did you hear that?
That's kind of what it sounds like. Let's see. Maybe a little taste, little tasty taste before I reveal what it is.
Ooh, it looks delicious.
Oh, that's that.
Start having the beer. Like I need to know ahead of time so I can drink the beer with you. We got to start. Yeah. All right, next week.
So this week we're doing the Deschutes Black Butte Porter. Now.
Wow. Oh no, we did. I was going to say Oregon twice in a row, but we did Michigan last week.
No, Michigan. Yeah. Do you know this beer, Colin?
The Black Butte Porter?
Yeah.
I am familiar. I have had the Black Butte Porter. Yes.
It's a pretty popular beer.
It's delicious.
I picked it for a couple reasons. Exactly. I picked it for a few reasons. One, I'm taking another sip. It's so good. I hiked Black Butte, which I presume this is named after the Black Butte that's outside Bend, because Deschutes is in Bend, I think, right? Anyway, are they?
Probably.
God, I assume. Anyway,
I'll fact check that while you're telling us about the hike.
Okay. There's a peak kind of near, Mount Bachelor called Black Butte. There's a lot of Black Buttes, but this is like very much like a Black Butte, volcanic peak. And I hiked it in leather boots because I knew that it was going to be sharp freaking rocks everywhere. And that I'd probably want to dick around off trail, which I did. Mm. So that kind of just reminded me of this,
it is
in Bend. Yeah. Okay. I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, it seemed apropos because, again, that hike is actually pretty chill, but once you get to the top, there's some sharp, plenty of sharp stuff. There's like big obsidian fields to play around with in that zone too.
Yeah.
And like, you don't really want soft trail runners. So that was a leather boot hike for me. But it's like the Black Butte matches these boots really well. Cause it's dark. If you don't know Black Butte Porter, I mean, porters are dark anyway, but it's like a really dark, like chocolatey, like look to it, but it has
rich.
A nice, but not so, it has like a nice dry finish. So it's not super heavy. Like you kind of are expecting it to be gnarlier than it really is, but it's pretty capable little beer. It's only 5.5% too. So it's not like a, you know, big plodding heavy stout. That's like 8 or 9% alcohol. It's a nice, you can have a couple of these. It's a 30 IBUs. So it's a little bitter, but not too bad. Do you know what IBUs are, Colin?
I know of them. I didn't know that related to the bitterness.
International Bitterness Unit is what that stands for. You'll see that on most beers now, but you know, IPAs and stuff would be like around, they could be like 60 to 70, like really like mouth puckering bitter. But like this one is a nice 30. And I would imagine that a lot of that's coming from the, when you roast the roast barley, that's what turns it brown. Mm-hmm. And it gives off like that same kind of burnt sort of, bitterness that coffee will or chocolate. Yeah. It's the same thing. And so, 30 is nice, a nice low round number for a beer like this.
imagine we're going to, that 5% range, especially if you consider the, if thinking of this as like a trailhead or put mm-hmm. in or at the break, like it's something you're going to drive afterwards, conceivably, mm-hmm. right? So I think when we, the occasional, I'm sure high percentage will come along because it's so good and it's such a good pairing with whatever gear we're discussing. But I have a feeling that kind of 4-6% is going to get a lot of play.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that because I was thinking about, it's wrong time of year, but like some big, I have some big gnarly heavy parkas that I got like when I went to Iceland and some other really cold places. And it was like, that's when you want like a quad, like some just nasty, danky Belgian beer that just, you just have like two sips
with
and
the barrel
like
aged smiling.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What up? Yeah.
Is the, so, okay. I want to hear this.
By the way, phenomenal brewery. If you don't drink Deschutes beer, I'm sure you can get that nationwide.
Yeah.
Really good. They've been around for a long time. They're one of the big early craft beers. Just absolutely everything. Mirror Pond is such a freaking good pale ale. That's one of my favorite beers from them. But I don't think they make them. I don't think I've ever seen Deschutes in cans, which is a bummer. I actually don't really like bottled beer. I'm much more of a canned beer guy, but they're usually in bottles.
Okay, so to summarize this episode of Gear and Beer, we have the Scarpa SL Active, the first 10. Only the second review, but we're already at a 10 on the stuffometer. Everyone's got a big legacy to live up to here for the Scarpas. And after you get done hiking off trail, we suggest refreshing yourself with the Deschutes Black Porter.
Black Butte Porter.
Excuse me. Black Butte Porter.
Thank you.
Anything less? Anything to add?
Yeah, you know, if you're in the area, Black Butte's a real nice hike outside of Bend there. Get nice views of Mount Bachelor. Yeah,
lovely.
Check it out.
Lovely. Bend's great. All right, that's the show for today. What did you think of this episode of Gear and Beer? Do you have a suggestion for Gear and Beer, or do you simply like Gear and Beer? Send an email to myrockfight@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. The Rockfight is a production of Rockfight LLC. For Justin Hausman, I'm Colin True. Thanks for listening. And here to take us out is Chris DeMakes. He's here to sing the Rockfight fight song. We'll see you next time, Rock Fighters. Rock Fight!